Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello, and thanks for joining us for this episode of Into the Killing. If you know of any cases for Into the Killing, Criminally Listed, or Paranormally Listed, please visit our website, criminallylisted.com, and then go to the Suggest a Case page. For this episode, we're going back 36 years to August 1988. Tompkins Square Park is in New York City's East Village. In the summer of 1988, like today, many New Yorkers were suffering from socioeconomic problems. The East Village was becoming gentrified, and many could not afford rent. This led to people living in Tompkins Square Park, and a large tent city had formed. Residents were at odds about what should be done about the unhoused population. Many of the new residents, who had higher incomes, wanted them gone. Activists argued that a lack of affordable housing created the situation. To stop people from living in the park, a 1 a.m. curfew was put in place. On July 31, 1988, there was a protest. Some of the protesters fought with the police. Less than a week later, on the evening of August 6, 1988, around 200 protesters gathered in the park. There was also a heavy police presence. The police were very disorganized, and this led to chaos. The police charged the protesters, and a riot ensued. Although there was a lull, the riot lasted until 6 a.m. 38 people, including police officers, were injured. There were lots of photos and videos of police officers assaulting people, including kicking defenseless people who were on the ground. There were over 100 complaints of police brutality. An official report from the New York Police Department said that the police incited the riot and they were heavy-handed in their actions. The police were condemned for their handling of the protest, but applauded for taking responsibility for the riot. On August 8, 1988, rap group NWA released their debut landmark album, Straight Outta Compton. The album was highly controversial because of its subject matter. On the album, the group raps about violence, drugs, sexism, racism, and police brutality. One song, Fuck the Police, caught the attention of the FBI. An FBI agent wrote to the group's manager about the song, which only made the band more notorious. The group marketed themselves as the world's most dangerous group. Despite getting little radio airplay outside of Los Angeles, California, the album was a hit. It reached number 37 on the Billboard charts. It also achieved platinum status, making it the first gangsta rap album to do so. In 2015, a biopic about NWA, Straight Outta Compton, was released. It was a massive hit, and it led to more sales of the album. Straight Outta Compton eventually went 3x platinum. In 2016, Straight Outta Compton was inducted into the Grammy Hall of Fame, and NWA was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. In 2017, the album was inducted into the Library of Congress because it was culturally, historically, or aesthetically significant. In August 1988, 19-year-old Jason Rother was a Lance Corporal in the United States Marines. On August 30, 1988, his unit was finishing a 12-day desert warfare training exercise in the Mojave Desert in California. Unfortunately, Rother was left behind when the rest of his unit was extracted. It was 40 hours before anyone realized the 19-year-old was missing. His remains were found 3 months later in the summer 1988. It's believed that he died on the day after he was abandoned from dehydration and exposure. He had walked over 17 miles and he was just 2 miles away from the base when he died. The Rother mishap, as it is called, is taught to military personnel as a lesson in accountability and responsibility. On August 2, 1988, Roll With It by Steve Winwood was the number one song. The number one movie was the romantic comedy Cocktail, starring Tom Cruise and Elizabeth Shue. Cocktail was critically panned and won the Golden Raspberry for Worst Picture, but it was a huge hit at the box office. It was the eighth biggest movie at the box office that year. In August 1988, 9-year-old Delana Clark lived in the picturesque city of Great Falls, Montana. Great Falls is Montana's third most populous city. In 1988, it had a population of about 56,000 people. Delana was an animal lover. She had recently fallen in love with a Siamese cat at a pet store in the city. She desperately wanted the cat, and she worked odd jobs for money to purchase the cat. She was paying for the cat on layaway. On August 2, 1988, Delana went to the store, and she was told she needed to pay $13 more. She didn't tell the store closed that evening to pay the rest of the money. So she rode her bike to her father's workplace and asked him for the money. He told her no. He then put her bike in the trunk of his car and he drove her home. Around 5:30 p.m., Delana left home on her older half-sister's bike. She was angry about not getting the money. At about 10:30 p.m., Delana's parents, Boise and Bonnie, called the police because Delana was missing. Initially, Delana's parents thought she had run away because she was angry about not getting the money. The police also thought she had run away. But since she was 9 years old and it was late at night, they searched for her. Delana's family also searched for her. But no trace of her or the bike was found.
Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step 4, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter. Hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Boise and Bonnie told the police that they believed that after she left, she probably went to the home of a family friend, Wilfred Morrissey. She may have gone there to ask for money for the cat. Morrissey, who went by Bill, had served 20 years in the Air Force. He was not married and didn't have any children. The Clark children treated him like an uncle. They were often at his home and sometimes slept over there. Morrissey ran errands for the family and joined them for holiday dinners. He lived about 2 blocks from the family. When Delana set off on her bike, she was heading in the direction of his home. The police interviewed Morrissey. He said that Delana came by his home earlier that day, around noon. She was looking for money. He said he wasn't sure if she was allowed to have the cat, so he said no. That was the last time he saw her. He allowed the police to search his home. They asked him if he had any weapons, and he said no. The police did find something odd during the search of his home. Under his bed, they found an ammunition can. They opened it, thinking a gun might be inside, but inside of it was the mummified remains of a chihuahua. Morrissey explained he had lived with his mother, and he had inherited the dog when she died. When the dog died, he wrapped it up in his dead mother's bathrobe and kept it. While that was unusual, they found nothing connecting him to Delana's disappearance. Morrissey was asked what he thought happened to Delana. He said he had a bad feeling that she was dead. He thought that her father, Boise, was the one who killed her. Boise was already on the police's radar. He was the last person to see her. Also, Delana's bike was missing, which the police thought was odd. If a random person kidnapped her, they probably would have snatched her off her bike and left the bike wherever it fell. The police thought that a more logical explanation was that Boise killed his daughter, then hid the body and the bike, and then made up the story about her leaving on the bike. Delana's home life was rough. Both of her parents drank. In fact, on the night she went missing, both of her parents were at a bar. They went to the same bar every Tuesday. Delana's parents also didn't keep tabs on her. One of Delana's friends said that her parents would not let her enter the family's home. Many people thought that Delana spent time in Morrissey's home because it wasn't nearly as chaotic as her own home. After Delana went missing, several people, including her teacher, told the police that they believed Boise was sexually abusing Delana. Boise was interviewed by the police, and he denied sexually abusing his daughter. But he admitted to some dark behavior. He said he liked to watch his 9-year-old daughter shower and get dressed without her knowledge. However, he was adamant that he didn't kill her. Boise agreed to take a polygraph exam. He was asked if he knew anything about the disappearance of his daughter, and he said no. It was determined that he was telling the truth. Delana's mother, Bonnie, also took a polygraph exam, and she also passed. Weeks and then months went by without a trace 9-year-old Delana Clark being found. Then, on March 3, 1989, 8 months after the disappearance, the investigators got a call from the police department in Butte, Montana. Butte is about 155 miles south of Great Falls. They had a person in custody who could be a possible suspect in the disappearance of Delana. He was 43-year-old Roger Lee Jones. Jones was on the FBI's 10 most wanted list. He was wanted in Sarasota, Florida, on 7 counts of lewd and lascivious assault on a child under 16. Jones had a long history of sexually abusing children, including his daughter. His ex-wife caught him sexually abusing their 2-year-old daughter. She tried to press charges, but the police did not believe her. Jones claimed she was a drug addict, had schizophrenia, and she was delusional. Then, in 1986, a young girl said that Jones lured her into his trailer home and sexually abused her. The police searched the trailer and found a videotape of Jones giving wine to a 13-year-old girl and a 10-year-old boy and then sexually abusing them. Jones was arrested and he posted bail. He then fled the state, making him a fugitive. He became the first child sexual abuser to appear on the FBI's 10 most wanted list. Jones was arrested in Butte because he was trying to sell a stolen pickup truck. The truck was stolen from Great Falls. It turned out that Jones was in Great Falls at the time of Delana's disappearance. While living in Great Falls, he was using the name Donald Hamilton. He even called the police and reported his sighting of Delana. The police, who had no idea he was a wanted fugitive who who had sexually abused multiple children, talked to him a couple weeks after Delano went missing, and he said he saw three kids riding bikes. He said that one of them looked like Delano. After Jones was arrested, the police searched the trailer where he was living in Butte. They found a collection of homemade child sexual abuse material. Delano was not one of the children in the video. Jones was questioned about Delano's disappearance. He said he had nothing to do with the disappearance. Jones took a polygraph test about Delano's disappearance. The results were inconclusive. However, the police could find no evidence to connect Jones to Delano's disappearance. Nevertheless, he remained one of the top suspects. After all, he was a notorious child predator who was in the same small city where Delano went missing from at the same time she went missing. The police also thought it was odd that even though he was on the FBI's 10 most wanted list, he called them to report a sighting of Delano. Did he do that to throw them off his trail? Roger Jones was extradited to Florida. In August 1990, he was convicted of child sexual abuse. In October of that year, he was sentenced to 40 years in prison. A year went by, and no trace of Delano Clark was found. Then, on October 2, 1989, a man was bow hunting in the Little Belt Mountains, about 50 miles from Great Falls. He discovered a small human skull. The man called the police. Dental records determined it was Delano's skull. A pathologist concluded she had been shot in the back of the head once with a .22 caliber gun. The bullet exited out of the forehead. From the angle, it appeared that she had been shot while she was lying down. The police searched the area. The bullet was never found. They found the jawbone, some arm bones, and some hair. But that was all the remains of Delano Clark that was found. It's believed that animals took the rest of the bones away. The police held on to the remains for 5 years. They were released to Delano's family in 1994, and they had a memorial service. The case then sat cold for years. Then in 2002, a chance encounter changed everything. It had been 14 years since Delano Clark was murdered. Popular movies released in 1988 were Die Hard, The Land Before Time, and Beaches. In 2002, some notable movies that came out were My Big Fat Greek Wedding, The Bourne Identity, and 8 Mile. The three biggest songs in 1988 were Faith by George Michael, Need You Tonight by INXS, and Got My Mind Set on You by George Harrison. In 2002, they were How You Remind Me by Nickelback, Foolish by Ashanti, and Hot in Here by Nelly. In 1988, some popular books that were published included Stephen Hawking's A Brief History of Time, Salman Rushdie's The Satanic Verses, and H.G. Bissinger's Friday Night Lights. The Lovely Bones by Al Siebold, Caroline by Neil Gaiman, and Lamb, The Gospel According to Biff, Christ's Childhood Pal by Christopher Moore were all published in 2002. In August 2002, one of the original detectives on the case, who was a rookie at the time, was driving to work. On the way, he saw Delano's father, Boise, at a bus stop, which got him thinking about the case. He decided to stop and talk to Boise. He asked him who he thought killed his daughter. Boise immediately said it was his former friend, Bill Morrissey. Boise said that in the days after Delano went missing, he was helpful with the search. But then, months after Delano disappeared, without telling anyone, he moved from Great Falls, where he had been born and lived most of his life. The only time he lived elsewhere was when he served in the Air Force. Boise said they never heard from him after he moved. After that conversation, the detective decided to reopen the case. One of the first things he did was eliminate Boise as a suspect. Boise had an alibi. He was at the bar on the night of the murder. He simply didn't have enough time to murder his daughter, dump the body in the mountains, and return without anyone noticing. but the detective did discover some odd things about Morrissey. On the night of the disappearance, Morrissey volunteered to help look for Delana. However, he oddly refused to drive either of his two cars. Morrissey took a polygraph exam. It ended when he vomited. He then took a second one, and it was determined he was not telling the truth. He was asked to do a third polygraph, and he refused. But the police never found evidence that he did anything to Delana. After the detective reopened the case, he talked to Delana's half-sister, Lisa. Lisa said that Morrissey used to be obsessed with her. For example, he bought her clothes that matched his. He would hold her hand when she was 14 or 15. He wrote her a love letter. He had even talked about marrying her. Lisa said that when she got a boyfriend, Morrissey turned his attention to Delana. The police then talked to a good friend of Morrissey's. He told the police that, in 1988, Morrissey owned a .22 caliber rifle. His mother had given it to him when he was 12, and the gun was special to him. This contradicted what Morrissey told the police back in 1988 when they first interviewed him. He claimed he didn't own a gun. Why would Morrissey lie about the gun? The lie took on even more weight because he lied about not having the same caliber of gun that was used to shoot Delana. The police learned that in August 2002, Bill Morrissey was living in Weston, Colorado. The police got a search warrant, and they searched Morrissey's Colorado home. But they did not find anything of interest. However, an investigator was talking to Morrissey, and he admitted that he had owned a .22 caliber rifle. He led the police to an area on the property, and they found a rifle barrel driven into the dirt. It turned out that Morrissey's friend, who told the police he had a .22 caliber rifle, had called him to warn him that the police had reopened the investigation. So he broke the gun into pieces and threw out everything but the barrel. He hammered the barrel into the dirt. The police said that had Morrissey never shown them where the barrel was, they would never have found it. They think he showed them where it was because he was hoping that once they had the barrel and saw it was damaged, they would not be able to connect it to Delana's murder. Morrissey was questioned and he denied hurting Delana. But then he admitted that the barrel might be from the gun used to kill Delana. However, he wasn't the one who killed her. Instead, he claimed it was Boise. He said that Boise had borrowed the gun from him a week before the murder and gave it back to him a week after. He claims that Boise even confessed to him. He said that Boise told him he hit Delana and then he shot her. He said that Boise even told him why he killed his daughter. He said that Boise was sexually abusing Delana and she was going to tell her mother. Morrissey also made an unusual statement to the police. He admitted that he was in love with Delana. He hoped that when she got old enough, she would see something in him and want to marry him. Morrissey also did a really odd thing. On the day Delana was murdered, she wanted to purchase a cat. After she was killed, Morrissey purchased the cat. 14 years later, he still had the cat. Although Morrissey blamed the murder on Boise, the police knew that Boise wasn't the killer. They think that Morrissey told them what happened to Delana and simply said it was Boise instead of him. The police believe that on the evening of the murder, Delana went to Morrissey's house to get money for the cat. When Morrissey refused to give her the money, she threatened to tell her parents that he was sexually abusing her. Several people believe that Delana was being sexually abused. They thought it was Boise, but the police believe it was more likely Morrissey. They think that when Delana threatened to expose Morrissey, he snapped and struck her. Delana was injured badly enough that she needed medical attention. He then realized he was in serious trouble, so he decided to kill her. They think he strangled her to death. He then put her body in the bike in the trunk of one of his cars. That's why he did not want to drive his car the night of the murder. Then, early on the morning of August 3rd, hours after he killed Elena, he drove her body into the mountains. The police said that the angle of the bullet suggests she was shot while lying down. They think he wanted to make sure she was dead, so he shot her in the head. Then, on September 3rd, 2002, 3 weeks after the case was reopened, 62-year-old Bill Morrissey was charged with the murder of 9-year-old Delaida Clark. Morrissey went to trial in November 2005. There was no physical evidence that connected him to the murder. They had the barrel of the rifle, but they never found the bullet, so it was impossible to do ballistic testing to see if it was the gun used to shoot Delaina. But the barrel was a key piece of evidence. Morrissey had lied about not owning a gun when he in fact owned a .22 caliber rifle, which was the type of gun used to shoot Delaina. Also, if Morrissey was innocent, why would he destroy the gun when he knew the police had reopened the case? Morrissey told the police he saw Delaina around noon on the day of the murder. As proof of this, he described to the police what she was wearing that day. But Delaina's mother and half-sister said she was home until 1 p.m. Then Delaina was with her friend from 1 p.m. until she met her father at work at about 5 p.m. The friend said that they didn't see Morrissey that afternoon. After getting home, Delaina left on her bike and went missing. So the only time Morrissey could have seen her was after she left home on the bike. Why would he lie about that if he had nothing to do with her disappearance? The trial lasted 4 days. The jury deliberated for 4 hours. Bill Morrissey was found guilty of deliberate homicide. He was sentenced to life without the chance of parole. At the time of this recording, 84-year-old Bill Morrissey is serving a sentence at the Riverside Special Needs Unit in Boulder, Montana. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. Like we said in the opening, if you have any cases to suggest for Into the Killing, Criminally Listed, or Paranormally Listed, please visit our website, criminallylisted.com. But that's all for today. Thank you again for listening. Please stay safe and take care of yourself.